Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope you're enjoying all of these interviews, but today is a really, really good interview because it's focused on actually helping try and solve a problem that we have that will be, well, there's no doubt in my mind that this will be the only way we're going to have a defense and or a blocking of literally the warfare and the front of the warfare that the progressives have put on us. And that's because it is in the education system. I've been telling you as long as I've been on the air that our education system has been working against us. And so if we're going to have any success in thwarting how they are undermining our republic, then the education system has got to be on the top of that list. Republic Review obviously is the process, but today we have a very special guest. His name's Mark Urbach, and he is a former educator, as well as a guy that has thrown his hat into the ring several times in trying to run and making a difference. So he is maybe not successful in becoming a mover and shaker, but he is a mover and shaker. Mark Urbach is a true patriot, and he is out in front poking both the rhinos, the quasi-conservatives, neocons, what have you, as well as the progressives in the eye. As you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. And again, because we've got a lot of pre-recorded content, I'm just going to have to apologize that you're going to have to wait till next week. I will be live on Christmas Eve. So if you want to call in, wish anybody a Merry Christmas like yours truly or any of the other folks that we've had on, or if you want to make comment, by all means, please, please be prepared to do so. We'll be live all next week. And with that, let me tell you this. If you're really looking to support liberty, if you want to help the cause, then you can go to GoFundMe.com and support our crowdfunding. Just look for ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and you will be there. I will also say this, that I truly appreciate everybody that has been tuning in and everybody that has been getting the word out that, hey, there's this different show that's actually solution-based and they're very focused on providing solutions. And that's what we're doing, is we're literally providing solutions. And today we're going to talk about how we can help deprogram your kids. And hopefully there'll be some material available very soon that you will be able to start working with your kids in getting them out of this anti-establishment, pro-socialism, hating Christianity, and so forth. So again, we are solution-based. This is not necessarily just about the news, and we definitely don't want to be about the distraction. If you don't have money, but you do want to support us, and you have time, a computer, and other resources like a phone and so forth, by all means, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and we will be happy to take your help. As you know, for probably the past Like I said, as long as I've been on the air, I've railed about the school system. But then this past month, I've really highlighted and focused how the school system isn't just, you know, planting bad ideas into your kids' heads. It is actually programming your kids to hate Christianity and good. Those things that are virtuous, that are noteworthy, those things that are of good merit, good cause, they are actually teaching the children that these things are vile and that you need to reject them. You need to reject your parents at all cost. And literally, I've witnessed this because I have seen kids as they, you know, these are good Christian families and their kids are actually, you know, repulsed by their parents. They don't want to have this disdain, hate, hostility. They don't want to have anything to do with these people that are the most supportive and the only people that are really in their corner. And so one has to go, well, you got to be kidding me. What the heck's going on here? It's called the programming by the godless secular progressives who want to move this world and country into a communist regime, a global communist regime that is subjugating all of us and literally out there to help promote their godlessness and making sure that they can have their good time under the auspices of socialism. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to have Mark Urbach on, and we're going to be talking about the great work he did in his book, Believe. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after a word from our promos. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. And folks, as promised, I actually have, I believe the 2016 election for president candidate, as well as 2018 governor of Georgia's candidate for the primary, Mark Urbach. Is that not correct, Mark?
That is correct, GR. Thank you for having me. It's good to be with you again.
No, it's a pleasure. I always love talking to you. And the last time we spoke, we talked about immigration and the real problems with that. But what I wanted to get into, because for the past, for quite a while, as a matter of fact, every time there's school shootings, every time there's some type of an atrocity, I like to point out that if anybody wants to blame anything, it has nothing to do with guns. It has nothing to do with organizations other than our education system, because our education system is deliberately debasing our society and creating immoral, godless beings. And so, and having written the book, I know the title's Believe, and then there's a subtitle. What's the subtitle?
The subtitle is Do We Need a Third Great Awakening?
There you go. And so,
yeah.
Folks, having read the book, Mark really takes, I think, copious details regarding the very specific court cases that had that were literally fulcrums or literally tools and or weapons that have been used since the, and I think you started with the Hugo Black separation of state. I think that's when you kind of started.
That's correct. That was the 1947 Everson versus Board of Education. That was the case that started the snowball that created the concept, the modern misinterpretation of a wall of separation between church and state. And that's where the whole system started to collapse.
Right. And so the whole premise behind that line, separation of church and state, is really unconstitutional. But why don't you tell the audience or the listeners exactly where that came from?
Well, Thomas Jefferson received a letter in 1802 from the Danbury Baptist of Connecticut. And there were in the letter, which I don't have right in front of me, but basically they were praising him for his new rise to the presidency. But they're also concerned about their religious freedom. And basically in the letter, he replied back to them that there is a wall of separation between church and state. His wall, in the correct meaning of the wall, and his interpretation of the wall, is there's a wall between the federal government and the state governments and the people. That's where the wall is.
Right.
Okay, and he says the federal government cannot come into Connecticut and intrude on your religious freedoms. Okay, right. They were concerned about being the minority Christians in Connecticut. So that's the way the letter, and this is, again, this is a private letter, folks. This is a private letter from the president to a group of Christians in Connecticut. That's the way it was interpreted all the way up until, really up until the 1930s, until Hugo Black, who had less than 2 years' experience as a judge, and that was from a police court, he took the letter, completely misinterpreted Jefferson's phrase, and started to remove the religious freedoms from the schools with that concept that right. There's a wall between the people in the states and the states.
Right. As well as creating a wall from the churches being able to have any influence on the people and the state as well. And so, in other words,
that's correct.
That was the beginning of the premise that preachers could not dabble in talking about politics as well as trying to begin the separation and the removal of the Bible and I'll just say different religious faiths and doctrines of Christian faiths, to be very specific. They were removing those
right.
out of education. And so I had just recently learned that the textbooks that were produced in the mid-40s that were just getting ready to come out for the 50s, because it takes a while for textbooks to get produced and then to get published and then actually to be a part of the curriculum. But the removal of God and Christ, that actually happened in the 40s. And that was
correct.
That was a byproduct of this Hugo Black ruling. And what year was the Hugo Black ruling?
That ruling was in 1947, Everson versus Board of Education.
In 1947.
Right.
Okay. So I'm telling you that they were already working, and Hugo Black had to use some type of case law to inject, because the upcoming curriculum and the upcoming books that were going into school were actually before that. Because I actually read a commentary that actually spoke in 1943 that they were already, you know, working and removing that. And again, it takes a long time, especially back then. It's not nearly as efficient as it is today, to make curriculum type of changes in textbooks, get them produced, get them printed, and get them out into the schoolrooms. And so it was already in the plans. The plans were in the works. They just needed to finally get the federal government to start enforcing godlessness. The first step, and we've talked about this before, the first step in the government enforcing godlessness into the school system was the Scopes trial, or the Monkey trial.
Right.
You agree?
Yeah, that was in the 20s, correct?
Yeah, that was in the 20s. And I can't think of any other real assertion by the court before that, but that was the real first injection. And we could go on and on. But anyway, so you actually, you know, identify all of these different cases that literally, you know, chip away at the state and the school's ability to maintain some kind of moral code.
Yeah, that's I believe there's six cases that I identified in the book. One in 1962 was a very, very famous case, Engel v. Vitale, where there was a neutral prayer that was initiated in the state of New York. And here's the prayer: Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. But because of Hugo Black's misinterpretation of the wall of separation church and state, they said that this prayer was illegal and unconstitutional, and they removed it. The first time in the history of the country that any court, remove prayer from the classroom. Now, it was a completely unconstitutional decision, but the court didn't even cite any precedents. And the question is, why didn't they cite a precedent? And that's because there was none. For 170 years following the ratification of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, no court had struck down any prayer in the classroom. So, but what they did establish was secularism and atheism. You know, I'm sure you would agree, GR, that when you remove some form of religion, whether it's Christianity or Judaism or Islam, from a room and you replace it with nothing, well, that nothing is atheism. And that's what our schools have evolved into.
Right.
We have secular institutions, godless institutions, atheist institutions, where the children do not believe in anything higher than themselves. So they commit crimes and vice and sin. And that's the nation that we're in right now.
Right. Well, so let me ask you a question. And this isn't a trick question. As a matter of fact, this may we may span a couple of segments. So if you have some time, I hope you I've caught you at a good time to do this, because we got about 2 minutes. But what I want to do, and I should be able to read this. This is from John Marshall, and I want to share this with you. And this is during the Virginia ratification debates. And this is what he says: Mr. Chairman, these, sir, are the points of federal jurisdiction to which he objects, with a few exceptions. Let us examine each of these with a supposition that the same impartiality will be observed there as in other courts, and then see if any mischief will result from them. With respect to its cognizance in all cases arising under the Constitution and the laws of the United States, he says that the laws of the United States being paramount to the laws of the particular states, there is no case but what this will extend to. Has the government of the United States power to make laws on every subject? Does he understand it so? Can they make laws affecting the mode of transferring property or contracts or claims between citizens of the same state? Can they go beyond the delegated powers? If they were to make a law not warranted by any of the powers enumerated, it would be considered by the judges as an infringement of the Constitution, which they are to guard. They would not consider such a law as coming under the jurisdiction. They would declare it void. And that was John Marshall, who became Chief Justice shortly after the, I believe it was under Madison, not Madison, it was under Adams,
right,
when he became Chief Justice.
Okay.
And so it was shortly out the gate when he became Chief Justice. And he clearly stated that here's the limitation of the jurisdiction of the federal government in the court, if it's not an enumerated power. And so here's education. He used the, you know, the transferring of property and laws, but he could have easily said, you know, can they make a law on education, health care, or energy? Because none of those are enumerated powers. And he would have continued on and said, hey, these things would have been declared void. Here, we're at a hard break right now. So hold on, and we will be right back, Mark. And we'll pick you back up after the break. So I appreciate you hanging on. And folks, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors and our promo. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so the reason I wanted to share that is clearly in defining the Constitution and clearly understanding that it is a contract, that it's a contract written for and by the states. And the states had clearly drawn this line that the federal government did not have jurisdiction over anything not enumerated. And here, all of a sudden, the federal court system starts injecting itself, or actually people start throwing these types of cases to the federal courts and saying, hey, we believe this is a violation of our rights. What should have happened, and what should always be happening, is the court should be stepping up and saying, we have no jurisdiction over this. This is a state issue. But instead, they continued, and as you know, I know you're aware of how the communist movement came in, and at that point, the first thing they penetrated was education, with the Fabian Society, and then the International Scholastic Socialists, and then the Democratic Socialists, and so forth and so on. And so, I mean, they were really well organized by 1905 or 6, if I remember correctly. But moving forward from this Hugo Black, and then you pointed out that they started taking out this prayer in New York. They actually exercised or asserted unconstitutional authority in all sorts of manners. And so the question, and folks, if you have a chance, and this is a good read, go get his book, Believe. And it's Mark Erbach, who is the author who we're talking to. And so if you want to have a good history and an understanding of what has happened to our education system, then this book will give you the really good insights of this. And it's really helped me. So back onto this trail. So there were how many cases that were really what you'd consider hallmark cases that just took a huge whack at the mores and morality of our republic?
Yeah, there were six cases. 47 was the one we just quoted about. Then 1948, McCollum versus Board of Education. That was very, very important. Then in 1962, There was Engel v. Vitale. And then in 1963 was Abington Township versus Shemp.
And what was that about?
These are the cases. I'm looking at my book right now. Oh, I'm sorry. Stone v. Graham was also very important. That was the Supreme Court. I mean, that was the Ten Commandment case. Abington Township versus Shemp. I'm trying to remember. It's been a while since I wrote my book.
That's
you have to. I'm gonna have to wait on that one.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
I don't know all these cases by heart.
I get it. I get it. I look at my book and I go, did I write that? Because I know it's been a while since you've, you know, compiled all this, especially when you write a textual book like that. You compile all this information.
Okay, it was right here. The court, I found it. The court removed Bible readings from the classroom.
There you go. And that was what
year? The day started off with any Bible reading, and the court said that was illegal.
And that was what year?
1963.
And so every time there's a class shooting, every time that there's some kid going into school shooting, every time there's some kid doing some atrocity, just recently were some kids, these teenagers just went in and murdered a guy. And I think this is in Virginia where these five teens were all arrested and they're going to be tried for lynching. I believe they're going to use the lynching law against these kids because of how depraved indifference they used in killing this 24-year-old that they supposedly went to rob. But the point and the reason I'm bringing this up is these types of things is a gold star in the intent and efforts of the education system because they don't care about life. They care about making godless people to become dependent on the state.
Right. That's unfortunate, the goal. And what they don't understand is that they're focused on education. And I know they know this, but the masses don't know this, that it tears down the entire town, city, state, nation with what they're doing. But they don't care.
So let me.
They're focused on their ideology.
Okay. So, and absolutely, it is all ideological. So what I wanted to do, because I had this epiphany and I thought of you. I went over to a friend's house, so I need to share this little backstory. I apologize, friends, because you probably heard me talk about this a couple of weeks ago. But I went over to a friend's house, a good patriot who had been working with me, and he was talking to his kids because he knows I'm a constitutional scholar, and he wanted to get my two cents on the topics. And so he had a one of his sons that had already graduated, and he had some, you know, other kids that were there. And then another son shows up at a different point in time. And so as he starts to try to engage with his, you know, adolescent or, you know, adult son, the son was very, I'll just say he was hostile. He didn't want to talk to his dad. He was very dismissive, you know, and just, kind of thing. Okay. And very disrespectful to do something like that in front of somebody. And it was just like, I just read the hostility that he had towards his dad. And so I actually started talking directly to the young man, and we started, you know, engaging. I was asking him questions. Well, did you learn this? And did you know this? And so forth and so on. And it actually, he all of a sudden became very hospitable, and he was actually open to, you know, well, I didn't know that and that type of thing. And I'm going, what a 180 turnaround. Here was a hostile child. Now all of us are a young man. And now all of a sudden he's actually having a cognitive, non-emotional, you know, and very stimulating conversation with me. What the heck's going on here? I believe, and so this giving you another backstory. I've had another friend who's his son just went into high school in California. Forgive me for having to take this time, but I think this is really important. And so,
sure,
this high school kid who just started high school has all of a sudden just become, you know, he just looks at mom and dad as the enemy. And he just doesn't want to have anything to do with, you know, their ideals or anything else. And so I told him, I said, you know, these are the things you can plan on. He's going to tell you he doesn't want to go to church anymore. He's going to. And he goes, he's already done that. And I said, he's going to, you know, if you try to take him out of school and put him in a private school, he'll threaten to run away. And he goes, he's already done that. He goes, how do you know this stuff? And I go, well. And this is where I came up with this. This is my thesis that. You know, it is natural that youth rebel against their parents But what is going on in the education system is the education system is actually teaching the kids that it's your parents, and especially if your parents are Christian. The only time you see hostility between kids and their parents today, you know, where, the, you know, there's just like this turmoil is when those parents have Christian, or I should say good, high religious morals and values. If you're godless and you're immoral, then you and the kids are good friends and you have a great buddy relationship with them because it's no longer parent and child. It's just like, you know, young kid and adult friend. What I believe and what I'm asserting is that the school system is deliberately educating and inculcating brainwashing through a web of a curriculum that those who are Christian, those who have morals are your enemies because they want to take away the things that make you feel good and your ability to have a good time.
That's it. The word feel good and have a good time. It's a feeling to be happy. Right.
Right. And so these kids are completely addicted to the thought and idea. I mean, they were already sexualizing kids. They want kids to, you know, to be very open to sex and so forth. And their parents, they already know that their parents are drawing that line. So if they are going to be able to do the things that the school wants them to do, they either have to revolt or they have to do it out of sight and mind of their folks. And so there's just no doubt in my mind that the education system has been weaponizing our youth and has been literally creating what I don't think it's a leap at all. If you understand the useful idiots of Lenin's Bolshevik Revolution, our education system has been creating the useful idiots for the next revolution here.
That is, and we see it all the time with the Antifa people. They have no brains, but they'll attack anybody who they dislike.
Especially if that person has some form of conservative, Christian, or some moral values, or what have you.
Because the Christian and the individuals stand for God and truth and justice and purity. And they don't like that. They're kind of like on the dark side. You know, that's what they've been inculcated with.
Right. Absolutely. It has been a long road. And if you remember correctly, it was in the 50s. And I got 40 minutes, so I'll have to take your answer on the other side of the break. But if you remember correctly, they started instituting sex education to reduce unwanted teen pregnancies in the 50s. And today, sex education is driven to help kids open up to new sexual forms and to try to help them to self-identify at the youngest age. And currently, as it has been legislated in several states, that age is fourth grade, which is technically 10 years old. It's prepubescence. Are you aware of that?
No.
Okay, so
I am very aware of this.
Okay, so I want to get into this because on the backside of this, I have some suggestions because you as an author, and again, I apologize, we're at a hard break at this point, and I won't be able to bring you back in until after the break. So, Mark, please hang on, and I want to talk to you about some ideas that I have that I think you might be able to run with because I think this is right in your will well. So, folks, we will be right back after this. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description
of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
And as I was just saying, that I truly believe now that they're sexualizing kids, there's no doubt in my mind that there's this unspoken assignment, because the teacher basically talks about the modus of the different sexual forms, homosexuality, bestiality, and all of these, you know, transgenders and so forth, morphing one sex. And so there's no doubt that the teachers are saying, here are all the different types of sex acts, and they're probably even providing the hows to and everything else. And now these they're asking the kids to self-identify. So, you know, they're going, we need you to figure this out. So what are the kids going to naturally do? It's not like they told them that by tomorrow you got to turn in an assignment, but they're literally giving kids assignments to go and play and try to figure out what their orientation is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's subtle brainwashing to a slight extent.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I even, you know, these movies and stuff like that that they actually watch on TV, we know it's illegal to use subliminal messaging. But, but I'm going to tell you that that's only illegal for marketing purposes. It's not illegal, or I should say it's immoral, but I don't think there's a law against it being used in different forums. And so there's no doubt in my mind that if you understand how the progressives will do anything because the ends justify the means, why would they think that they couldn't get away with this as well, using subliminal messages within videos that they show kids?
True.
I mean, they commit voter fraud. They do anything and everything they possibly can. Why would they not do this? Because this helps support them getting across the finish line and getting enough kids to throw away our liberty so that we'd be hurled into communism. So here's the thing, and I'm not sure if you've got the time to write another book, but I honestly think that there are ways of countering this, that a book and not necessarily a therapy, but an open and honest dialogue that parents can actually start exposing their kids. Because I truly believe that had that friend of mine had a hidden camera, he could have actually captured both of his kids, because I talked to a different child later, and he was really, you know, hostile, dismissive, and so forth. And then as soon as he started talking to me, he was open, cognitive, and rational. And, you know, wow, I didn't know these things. You're really making me have to think here. And the point is I believe Eddie, if he had a camera and he was actually, you know, showing, you know, videotaping the kids and how they were acting and reacting, one towards him and then me, he could say, do you recognize the hostility you have towards me? Where did that come from? you know I love you, and you know that I have only the best intentions for you and for your life. I want you to be successful. There's nobody to support you better than me. So where do you think this is coming from? And the kids will go, and they'll come up with these excuses. But I think this is where the honest dialogue can say, I believe that you've been trained by the school system to hate, maybe not me by name, but what I stand for. And I think you need to really start looking at yourself and saying, have I been programmed into this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure you understand what's going on with the test scores. Like teachers, and I've been out of education for 6 years, but even when I was teaching, the administrators didn't like it when we gave the students a zero, or when the students earned a zero. Well, that's because this is the whole philosophy that it's not right for them to be to earn such a low grade. Everyone has to succeed, so everyone can be happy and feel good about themselves. And this is part of the programming.
Yep. Yep. So the challenge, I guess, I have for you with the 6 minutes we have left is to give you some ideas and, maybe give you a follow on to say, because I want to give you some more data. If you look at how many kids are going to be entering the electoral process, in other words, kids that are graduating out of high school, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. I think it's every 2 years. In other words, every major election cycle, not presidential, but major, midterm presidential, every 2 years, that's 8 million kids. I have no idea how many conservatives with lots of gray or white hair are passing away at that same rate. But I do know this, that within the next 2 to 5 years, if you look at how close the elections are, and I know that there's voter fraud, we have the odds stacked against us that within 2 to 5 years, there's nothing we can do. There's no state that is safe.
That's true. Texas was very close with Cruz and O'Rourke in
Nevada.
Here in Georgia, yes. The governorship between Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams was very close.
Right. But the interesting thing is that it was only those types of races. And the question is, you have to go into the actual results, the final results of the election, to find out how many undervotes there were in all the other races. Because if the governor race had hardly any undervotes, but every other race had undervotes, then that means that there was probably voter fraud, because there were people that were just literally filling out ballots. Because the real problem they have with voter fraud is that the ballots only come out 2 weeks before the election. Nobody gets an early print, because that is tightly controlled. So they only have a 2 week window to start filling out ballots, and some processes, it's time consuming. So they don't have the time to go through an entire ballot. They target a very specific race. Now, different groups may target different races, because there are different groups that say, okay, you guys are going to focus on the governors, we're going to focus on the senator, and you can focus on the House of Representatives. And so they have these little mills that are trying to affect very specific races. That's why you'll probably find in the statewide races, they don't even vote for those, and there's probably a large amount of undervotes. And if it's a consistent amount statewide across the board, then you can find out that's how many fraudulent votes there were.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And so the thing I had some ideas for the book is, one, having and providing for parents to convince them to start working with like-minded, whether they be church friends or whether they be just good patriots, and start working with them and working with each other's kids, so that they can invite you over, you can invite them over, you guys can kind of do these recordings, because it's hard for the kids to defend when they're looking at themselves and they're seeing this disdain or this, hatred, and then they see this literal expression change for somebody else. They're not aware that they're doing it. And so I think that That's one mechanism that would be very helpful in, you know, trying to, you know, confront this, and also coming up with like a counter education that you should probably be able. I think you'd be perfect for this, coming up with like a counter curriculum that would be able to, you know, be sent out to church groups and civic groups and so forth, that you could either do it in an ebook, you know, literally make a little educational guide. But the point is you want to go after the things that they're teaching contrary doctrines to on Christianity, such as, right, you know, creation. You know, there, that's easy to actually create the talking points to force kids to all of a sudden have to realize, hey, there's a different narrative. How come we were never taught this? And providing this to the parents so that the parents actually begin to, you know, confront, because in reality, the best thing a parent can do is homeschool. The next best thing that a parent,
that's true.
The next best thing a parent can do is put them in a better, you know, private school, but they're still getting the same curriculum without any oversight. So, you know, and then some parents can't even afford to get their kids out of school. You know, they have to keep them in public school. So the only other alternative that a parent does have is actually sitting down with a handbook and going through that, you know, the countering doctrines or providing alternate theories and narratives to what we know that these kids are being exposed to. That way, the kids all of a sudden, because if you do it in an academic level and in a, you know, in a like a textbook type of thing, then it doesn't become so personalized. And I think the kids might actually be able to stop the creation of the useful idiots. We got 1 minute. It's your, the time is yours.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. Sitting your children down at the table and talking with them about something that's an alternative to what they're learning in the classroom is a must for parents. I've experienced this with my 12-year-old daughter and how she was completely brainwashed with how the Europeans completely colonized Africa and did nothing good for Africa. You know, she was taught that they just swept away all the natural resources and were really, really bad. Well, that's true and not true. So, again, the best thing the parents can do is either get their children out of public school into private school or homeschool their kids, or sit down with their own truthful supplements to what they're learning in the classroom is a must, because, GR, you're exactly correct. In 5 to 10 years, the country could be completely on the D side, the Democrat, Socialist, Communist side, and that's a problem for patriots across America.
Right. And so I guess the one challenge that I would like to, you know, put out to you, because I know you've written some other books, I believe you could probably knock this out of the park. I believe this is something you could do and, you know, make a little bit of money on the side for it. But I truly believe that there is, if we start waking people up to the fact that their kids are their enemies, especially if you are a Christian, and getting the word out into the Christian community to say, did you know your kids are your enemies? And some kids may not surface directly, but the kids are being taught. I'm telling people right now that if you have a Christian page that is identifying who the strong Christians are and who to vote for, then I'm basically telling you that you're hoodwinking them not to vote for them, because they're teaching these kids it's the Christians that want to take away your good time. And so I am completely out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on. And
thank you.
I apologize. I apologize for talking so much, but I wanted to give you the backstory. And you let me know when you're ready to come back on. Here's the music here.
Sure.
You let me know when you're ready to come back on and talk about this great book you're going to be providing us, okay? And folks, the book is Believe, and it is available on Amazon. And Mark, I'll have that up on my podcast page. So thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So, folks, if you go and do the research yourself, you will find that they truly marginalize the type of perversion and the type of content that they are literally selling your children. As a matter of fact, when you start looking at national reports, figures, and everything else, they make it seem like your kids and the kids in the school system are literally being taught chastity, abstinence, and that they're not being exposed to all of these perverse things. And that flies in the face of what's really going on, because why is it that nationally you found that they had literally a march for your life in every state? If the ideologues are going down the path of all, you know, it's already being exposed that the ideologue and the narrative is already being hammered into every school in every state. Do you believe, because that's not stopping them. Nothing's stopping them from teaching the anti-guns. What makes you think that they're really not trying to teach, promote, and indoctrinate your kids into perverse gender morphing and so forth? I'm literally here to tell you that we cannot trust the ideologues who have full control over what is going into your kids' minds. It is time that we actually start putting standards to what is literally going on, because our school systems has the greatest impact on our mores and our future society. And the progressives know this, and that's why they're focused there. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. God bless, and I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.